been here previously when we have launched our program of military Bible sticks. You have given, and one of the things that is a praise report at this time is there is a matching fund available. So if you give $25, somebody else gives $25, that just became $50. The other part of the aspect of the $25 that you would give, the issue is that if any one of those soldiers asks that you send a copy, that a copy be sent to their family, they will send that. It comes under the same $25. So it is a fabulous ministry. I'll just give testimony. I have one of these Bible sticks at the head of my bed. Every once in a while, my wife will say, "What are you doing?" And I'll say, "I'm getting my Bible stick." It's amazing. You can put that on and begin to listen to that. And it just is a very focusing device to get you back to centered on the things of God. So it is a marvelous, marvelous ministry. We're very much thankful that we have been able to be about it. You see on the bulletin insert what you're able to do there, filling out the form on the bottom and participate. You can make a donation this week or next week. You need to pray about it. We would appreciate you to be faithful in praying and seeking out God's will on it. But pray that you might participate in us, with us in this project of Faith Comes by Hearing. Title of the message, of course, this morning is Faith Comes by Hearing. What we're going to be looking at this morning is what kind of different ways are available that which a person might hear the Word of God. Different ways in which a person might hear the Word of God. Number one, someone preaches the Word by opening up God's Word and proclaiming the truth contained therein. We have what is called the Great Commission given by the Lord Jesus. And His message is very clear in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then the commission is go into all nations and proclaim what? The gospel. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's discipleship. And lo, I am with you always, even into the age, into the age, the end of the world. That's the encouragement that we do not go alone in the process of doing that. Evangelism is the process of giving forth the Word of God. There are individuals who obviously preach the gospel, as I do here. There are individuals who have the gift of evangelism that travel from location to location to be evangelists and share the gospel with them. The first church age sermon was given by Peter on Pentecost. That's recorded for you in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 41. I'm not going to read that, but I am going to highlight a response that's given in verse 37 and 38. It says, "Now when they heard this," the clear proclamation of the gospel that they had heard, "they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Scripture goes on to tell us 3,000 souls were saved in that first day church service. How many think that's pretty good beginning? Amen. Later on, we read 5,000 souls were added in. So the church was built through evangelism. Not only Paul and, Peter and John initially, but Paul later and others who went forth and proclaimed the gospel. Paul said of himself, Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16b, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we are given there the gospel, beginning with verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15 through verse 4. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Here it is. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, I tie this together with the fact that as we make possible these Bible sticks, here are individuals who go into the military under the stresses that you read and heard about here just a moment ago, and they are listening there on their earbuds, and they hear the gospel. They hear what Christ did for them. Do you realize that many of those who come into the military have never been churched? They've never heard the gospel before. And so they're hearing it. And when they're hearing it, what is very significant is they are not hearing some man giving his opinion. They're hearing the Word of God. And as they're hearing the Word of God, in a moment I'm going to expound upon what happens when the Word of God is released in such a fashion as that. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, and again I'm going to paraphrase that, but Paul there warns and just is frustrated with the Galatian church because he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the true gospel to another gospel, which is not truly another gospel of the true sort, but it is phony, it's fake. And then he says this, if I or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel, let him be accursed, anathema. Friends, listen to me. All roads do not lead to heaven. There's only one. Okay? You must go by the way of the cross. You must go through the blood, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Paul then says that, he says, and I'll say it again, a second time, reinforcing what he's already said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So as we are participating in the military Bible sticks, they're able to hear the true gospel. And what it may just do in the lives of some is help them to understand that they have been hearing a false gospel somewhere and give them a chance to turn from the false to the true. Turn with me, if you would, to the passage that was read this morning in our text in Deuteronomy. One way that someone might hear the gospel is a preacher. Another way is somebody hears it read out loud. And this passage is a very powerful passage because notice that it is making a declaration from the Lord that there was to be a specific process. At least every 7 years, everyone was to be exposed to the hearing of the Word of God. Notice the ones who are supposed to be involved in hearing that. Verse 12. Men, women, children, and who? Strangers. Meaning Gentiles, non-Jews. In other words, anybody that was in the land was expected to show up for this reading of the Word. Now, there was a purpose in this, and that is shared for us then in the second part of verse 12. Number one, that they may hear, but not just that they may hear, but they may what? Learn. And then that produces a byproduct, which is to fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord, to honor the Lord, to bow before the authority of the Lord. Verse 13 goes on. It said, again, even the children that have not heard anything, they do not know anything, that they may hear and they may learn. A number of years ago, I was at a minister's conference, and the speaker bore in on this passage of Scripture to make it known that the root from both hear and learn come from the same Hebrew word. And this speaker was driving it home and saying, listen, if they haven't learned, they haven't really heard it. In other words, he was speaking to preachers and saying, your responsibility is not just for them to hear it, but for them to learn it by you making it real and understandable so that then the consequence would be they would fear the Lord. Not that they'd fear the preacher, but they would fear the Lord. And they would draw them into a relationship with him. 2 Kings, turn with me if you would there for just a second to chapter 22. And several of these passages I'm going to kind of move past very quickly, but I'll give you the reference. 2 Kings 22, verse 8 through 11, we find a young man who has become king by the name of Josiah. He's 18 years of age at this point in time. They've gone through a process of trying to clean up the temple. They had been given money, but the money had not been spent for its purpose, which was to refurbish the temple. In the process of refurbishing, guess what they found? A copy of the Word of God. And amazingly, somebody decided to read it. Duh. And when they read it, they said, ooh, the king ought to hear about this. Okay? So they brought it, had it read before the king, and King Josiah, when he heard it read, ripped his robe and was broken before God, and he says, we need to find out from God what to do, because we've obviously violated the Word of God. And so what happens is he, after being broken before, after appealing to God for direction, he then calls the elders and the leaders. Look at chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. We're still in 2 Kings. The king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears what? All the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant, hearing God's word orally. And there's another passage in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 35. And again, I summarize. An Ethiopian eunuch had been up to Jerusalem for one of the feasts. He was on his way back to Ethiopia. He was actually the treasurer for Candace, who was the queen. And as he was traveling back, he was reading out loud in a chariot from the scroll, and he was happened to be reading Isaiah chapter 53. And God intervened in this whole scene by saying to Philip, who had been busy in a ministry evangelizing down there in Samaria, go join yourself, go to this place. And then as this man came by, God says, go join yourself to that fellow that's in the chariot. And so as the chariot is going along, here is Philip running along beside, and he's hearing this man reading from God's word. I love this picture. You know, it'd make a good movie if Hollywood didn't touch it. Okay? And the picture that is there is, here is the man going along with his chariot, and here's Philip running along beside. He says, understand what thou readest? And the man says, how can I unless somebody explains to me? And so then, whoa! And Philip gets up in there with the chariot with him, and then he begins right where the man is reading, who's not understanding what he's reading, and he shows to him Jesus. Isaiah 53, Jesus. Amen? The man heard it, but he wasn't understanding it. He needs somebody to help him understand it. And here's the power of God's word. As they went on down the road a little ways, the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Woe up. They got off. They went down the water. They come up out of the water. And the Lord caught Philip away. Now, there's action from the reading of God's word. Amen? And as we think, let's pretend for just a second. You are a person in the military. You've been shot at most of the day. And you're lying there at night trying to regroup. And you just happen to fall upon the passage in Acts chapter 8 and listen to it. Wouldn't that be an exciting moment? To understand a bit of what is before you in the process. There's another way that people might hear the word, and that is really the theme of what we're talking about, and that would be through the listening to the Bible by a Bible stick, or listening on the cell phone, or listening on a CD, or listening on an iPad or a radio or some other form in which the word of God is being proclaimed and they're able to hear directly from the Lord the Holy Spirit's communication to them. There's another means that somebody may hear about it, and you can be involved in this in terms of as you're talking with someone else about the Lord, somebody may overhear your talking as you quote and communicate about the Word of God. And as they hear and their curiosity is picked, there's where 1 Peter 3:15 comes in mind and to play in your life, and that is, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to any man who asks you a reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. Being ready to give an answer. You know, listening through the scripture on a Bible stick or out of your phone. The Gideons, I'll put in a plug for them. The Gideons have an app for that. Amen? You can download the scripture right onto your cell phone, punch the button, and it'll play, and you'll be able to listen, Old and New Testament alike. There's an app for that, so you can hear the words. There's something else that's interesting, and that is people can hear the word or come exposed to the word through the very effort of trying to disprove the word. They are skeptics, they are scoffers, they are atheists, they are agnostics, etc., and they decide, I'm going to prove that the Bible is wrong. This is a very small, partial list of those that have been impacted that way. C.S. Lewis was one of those. Another one was Josh McDowell. He set out to prove that the Bible was not true. Christ was not real. Ray Comfort was converted as he tried to disprove the Bible. Kirk Cameron was one who was converted. Lee Strobel was converted. And recently there was a movie called Case for Christ in which it reflected on his life. There's a book by his hand about how he came to know Christ. Alexander Solzhenitsyn became a believer because he was trying to reject the Word of God. And I shared this in the morning Sunday school hour. A man by the name of Nabil Qureshi, who was a Muslim, raised Muslim, he was witnessed to by a believer, and that believer, in trying to communicate God's truth, created a kind of a fight mode in Nabil, and he decided he would study out the scriptures and find out what was the true God, whether it was Allah or whether it was what Christians believe. And guess what happened? He ended up on his face before the Lord and became a believer. Now, here's what I shared with the folks in the Sunday school. If you look under your cancer list, his name is there now. Right now, Nabil is in a battle with stomach cancer. He's been on a ministry team with Ravi Zacharias, and right now he's in a position, he's been receiving radiation and chemo treatments and so forth, and I was watching a little presentation that he made online after his last appointment. They had hoped that the cancer would have been defeated, as it were, but what it's actually done is expanded even further in his body. So I would encourage you to pray for him. His burden that he shared on that internet presentation was a burden that he wants to be here for his daughter. Not just for the ministry, but also for his daughter. So pray for him. But all that to say that individuals have come by the exposure to God's word to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens when a person hears God's word in any one of the forms that I've just spoken of? Well, one thing that happens, and this is a very exciting thing, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, that means it's living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When a person opens up the Word of God or hears the Word of God, the power of God's Word, because it is living and powerful, and because it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it can get right down to the very nitty-gritty of what is going on inside a person's life. and can begin to expose the thoughts and the motives, the intents of the heart of that individual. You know, one of the things that's interesting about hearing it or reading it on your own, if somebody else said the same thing to you, you'd get angry with them. Am I right? But if you're really faithfully reading it and it's to hear from God, and God says it, what are you going to do? If you're smart, you're going to obey. You're going to repent. Okay? So God's word is there to speak to us, and it is powerful. It has a dynamite power that God has put in it to reveal what we're like and what we need to do. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel, okay, for our gospel, Paul ministered to the people at Thessalonica, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now notice what he is saying. You didn't just hear words, but you heard and saw power, the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the power of assurance that only the Holy Ghost can give. Also in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. That's the nature of God's word. It can minister specifically, individually, into the person's life. When you open God's word or you hear God's word, there is a light, there's an illumination, there's an enlightenment that comes from that. Psalm 119, for example, speaks to that in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130, the entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Okay, I want to say something in love this morning. Every one of us in here qualifies for being simple in some areas of the spiritual realm. Amen? It gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. There are some things we don't understand, but God's word can give us understanding in that. That's why we need to go through God's word, but also why we need God's word to go through us, so that it opens up our eyes to an understanding that makes a change. All of this, of course, is happening, as it were, in one and the same time, because the Holy Spirit of God is at work through his word. He's the author, he's the communicator of it, and he uses it to impact our life. In Isaiah 6:8, a very powerful vision is presented in Isaiah chapter 6. And in verse 8 it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. God's word, speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, has drawn and drawn and drawn people into the ministry, into missionary work, into service for God in a multitude of ways. It's so amazing to see how God works that in people's lives. The Gideon's theme verse is Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God does have a purpose for his word. Go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're still talking about the Holy Spirit using the word as it's heard, as it's read, and how it will impact in the life of an individual. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So what is he going to do? Verse 8. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove means convict. Convict of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Friends, we live in the church age. We live in the age of the Holy Ghost. As far as the impact, Christ said, I will send the Spirit. He will come. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. Pentecost baptized the church into the authority of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God now works in the individual to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And again, bring it back to the Bible sticks, or just listening to the Word of God in some form, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is shouting your name. How many of you have experienced that? And as God's Word shouts at you, I'm talking to you, then it's about time to listen then. Amen? And when He's speaking to you, right then is your opportunity to bow and yield to that. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. We're talking about the Word of God and what happens when a person listens to it. What are the benefits, the blessings that come from listening to the Word of God? In Psalm 19, I'm going to pick up with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. I'm adding here, what's it good for? Answer, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, is sure. What's it good for? Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. What's it good for? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. What's it good for? Enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant what? Warned. And in the keeping of them, there is great reward. God's word being heard, read, listened, brings fantastic results. There's another part of what happens when somebody is exposed to the Word of God. That is that they can respond by faith to whatever it is that God is speaking to them about. And in that quickening that comes from hearing the quick, live, powerful Word of God, they can be convicted, they can be convinced, they can be converted, they can be transformed, and they can be restored unto the Lord. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, it says, seeing then that you have purified yourselves and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Listen, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, you want to know some good news? The gospel never changes. The gospel endures forever. And the promises of God's word are sure. They are yea, they are amen. You can trust them, as it were, and take them to the bank. So the question that then comes up is, what about somebody that hears the word of God, but they will not listen to it or they will not respond to it? Go with me to John chapter 3. Verse 16, we maybe have most all memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and is that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. A person listens to the word of God. The Spirit convicts them of sin and righteousness and judgment. What are they going to do with it? They can say, no. They can say, not now. Or they can say, I need that desperately. But friends, listen to me. To say no means that a person, the light is what's spoken of in here. The light is there and they hate the light. They love their darkness. They're saying, in essence, I want to go on sinning. So I don't want that. When a person has that light shined upon the Word of God, whether it's spoken, whether it's read, whether it's heard through a mechanism, there is a moment of decision. And I take you back to the passage in Deuteronomy. The reason why they wanted everybody there, even the children that didn't know anything, was that they would hear what God has to say and that they would learn to fear the Lord. And where we are in our world today is people say, I don't want to hear the scripture, and I definitely don't want to hear the gospel, and I really don't want to hear that I have to repent. Okay? But it's all there. It's part of the package. In James chapter 1, verse 22, again, a familiar passage, but familiarity does not mean obedience all the time. James 1, 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, notice, hearer, but is not a what? Doer. He is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God has just described what kind of a man he is. But he turns around and goes right back. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How many like being blessed? Obey God's word. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But if we choose to reject God's word, to disobey God's word, we're just deceiving ourselves. It's like we're saying, okay, I've read the word. Now, God, I need a blessing. And God is saying, did you obey my word? You say, well, no, I'm not getting around to that, but I did read it. How many points is that good for? Well, you know what it says in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17? Therefore, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? It is sin. God's kind of meddlesome that way in his word, isn't he? This is what it says. This is what you need to do. And to refuse, to disobey, to reject it is sin. And a person in that situation can't claim, oh, I'm exempt. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and following, Jesus teaches something pretty powerful. This is at the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It is followed by the last two verses of chapter 7, said that the people were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke as one with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. But what he says in summing up what he's been preaching there on the Sermon on the Mount is this. He says that here's the deal. For the one who hears my word and obeys my word, he is a wise person, and he is like a man who builds his house upon the rock. And the storm comes, and the wind blows, and the rain falls, but his house stands. He said, but the foolish man is the man who hears my word, but won't obey it. And when the storm comes, same kinds of storms, guys, when the storm comes, he didn't hear for the purpose of obeying. He says, that foolish man's house will be destroyed. And then he says, and great shall be the fall of it. Big, bad crash. And so when God's word is spoken to us, we read it, we hear it, he's by his Spirit quickened it to us, we need to obey it. We need to respond and do what it is that he's calling us to do. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, Christ is here teaching about a very important situation about stewardship or obedience and walking with the Lord and fulfilling the commandments. And verse 47, 48 says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. We are blessed. How many have more than one copy of God's Word in your house? How many have more than 10 copies of God's Word in your house? You know what that simply says to us? There's more to be expected of us. You know, the more exposure we have, the more accountability we have before God. Now, you say, well, then I'm going to get rid of a bunch of them. Too late. Too late. You're already accountable before God. Amen? But the point is that, wow, here is the reality that we have heard. And now the question is, what have we done with it? There's an account, and I'd kind of finished up the sermon and then felt like God was saying, you need to add a P.S. on the end. And in Jeremiah chapter 36 is the P.S. that's on the end. And I'm going to read to you a portion from verse 24 through 26. Jeremiah, the prophet, was told by God to write down all the things that God told him to do. And he had a man who was his secretary, as it were, who wrote it down. His name was Baruch. So Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote it down. And Simon is kind of similar to the situation with Josiah earlier. When they heard it read, some of the people said, whoa, this is heavy stuff. This is big accountability. We ought to read it before the king. And somebody else said, not me. I'm not going in there. But they decided it would be good for him to hear it. And so it was taken in before King Jehoiakim. And beginning with verse 24, it says, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jedudai had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Listen, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. God pronounces judgment. In verse 30 and 31, we read this, therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to set upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I pronounced against them, but they hearken not. That's heavy stuff. Now let me remind you of something. After the king had burned all those words of God up that Jeremiah had written by the Spirit of God, God says, write them down again. You hear what I'm saying? Man can burn God's word, but God's word will endure forever. Okay? So we understand that God's word is God's testimony. And to hear it and to not respond to it is serious, serious business. We have people, and this is hard for us perhaps to imagine, that have never read or never heard the Word of God. People in America. George has given testimony on more than one occasion of being on college campus and offering to hand out a New Testament to college students, and they turn their nose up and reject it. Okay? There was the time in which Gideons gave Bibles to every guy that went into war. Now there's this whole attitude of, you know, we've got to be really careful. We've got to be sure that they request it. We can't force our religion on somebody, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is we have opportunity to participate through military Bible sticks in the lives of young people who've never heard the Word of God. And to be a part of that by your financial giving, if you're able to, is an exciting thing. I could keep us here for at least another 30 minutes reading testimonies that faith comes by hearing provide me of troops or of chaplains who give testimony of how God's Word impacted those who listened to those Bible sticks. It is making a difference. And so I ask that you prayerfully consider your participation in it. As I said earlier in the service, they've got a matching gift, so if you give 25, it becomes 50 automatically. So give as you feel led. The church has been generous in the past. I pray that you'll be generous again this year. We get nothing out of this except the joy of being part of what God is doing in changing people's lives. Let me close it up with this. Friends, we are blessed people. We have God's Word. But America is not in the situation that it's in because they've been too obedient to God's Word. America's in the mess that we're in because we've forsaken God's Word. And we're seeing the consequence in our society, left and right. So now, we as believers need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We need to be evangelists taking the Word of God out there. We need to be the mechanism that God uses to answer the questions of people that are out there that don't know what the Bible says about some of these social issues that are going on. We need to be informed, and then we need to inform and participate in other people's lives. May we be obedient this week to be a living testament to share with others that need God's Word in their life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But that passage goes on to say, have they not all heard? And the answer is, unfortunately, no. And Lord, some who have heard have flat rejected it. And there are those that are hateful and desire to destroy your word, all the while proving how much they need your word. So, Lord, you've called us to be your living testimonies, written, as it were, by the Spirit of God, to impact the lives of people we work with, that we live around, that we interact with. Lord, may we be faithful to represent you honorably and your word faithfully. Lord, we pray that you would bless all those that are participating in this military Bible stick anywhere in the United States as well as in this fellowship. Lord, we pray for the souls of the lives of those who are going to hear the Bible on a Bible stick, some of them for the first time. We pray, Father, that your word would enter powerfully into their life, and they would be truly convicted of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And Lord, that they would be even like those on that day of Pentecost. What must we do? And Lord, we pray that they would repent and believe, that they might receive salvation and eternal life. So Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. We know that's your desire. Lord, may we be instruments to spread it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your hymnals to hymn number 106.